With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It feels so good as your cost. Brought an alligator, I ain't talking
about. Another rough performance for Team USA in the FIBA World Cup earlier today. That's back-to-back losses, and Jerry Colangelo says he's going to hold a grudge when it comes to making the roster for the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. We'll get into that in the next segment. Jeff Cargan's going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, he's a senior NFL writer for CBS Sports, host of the Pick 6 podcast. That's a daily NFL podcast. You can subscribe over at Apple Podcasts. Get it anywhere you get podcasts. It's my friend and colleague, Will Brinson. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview, presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar, using food and wine to create memorable times.
Well, it's Gary. How you doing, man?
Gary, what's up, buddy? How you doing, man?
Everything's perfect over here. Let me ask you this first. Between one CBS podcast host to another, how'd they talk you into doing one every day?
Well, you know our bosses, and they like to do the thing. Like, you know, they act like it's a great idea to help you out, help out your career. And then the next thing you know, you're like, you're stuck in this never ending churn of a podcast. No, I mean, like, I agree. Yeah, I don't really know that. EK tricked me, to be perfectly honest. I don't think he's listening in Memphis, but he tricked me.
They've tried to trick me as well, and I've been like, hey, I'd be open to anything. Let's talk about it next week or so, and then I just hope that we never bring it up again. But
I know if I was smart, I'd have been like, that's a great idea. We should talk about it when my contract is up.
Yeah, my contract expires 12/31, so let's talk about it, you know, leading up in the weeks to that, see if we can make something work. Yeah, you don't commit to doing a daily podcast in the middle of a contract, but whatever. I'll let you and your agent handle that. Talking to Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBS Sports. So Thursday Night Football is tonight, obviously. It is Panthers-Bucks, and it's not a rare matchup between Cam Newton and Jameis Winston, because they've played against each other a bazillion times at this point. But it is a rare matchup between men who both won Heisman trophies and national championships at the collegiate level, if only because there's not many of those men who did that as quarterbacks in college and then, you know, are playing at the same time in the NFL. Let me start with Cam. Are we sure, because I'm reading a lot about him today, he hasn't won a playoff game since the MVP year, I believe. Or is Cam Newton still a very good NFL quarterback?
Yeah, that's a fair question. Yeah, he is a very good NFL quarterback, but there's a but there. The Panthers need this year to find out for sure whether he can be healthy over the long haul, because next year will be the final year of his contract, Gary, and I can promise you that Cam Newton is not going to go into the final year of his contract with the Panthers. You know, one of the Mount Rushmore guys, if you will, for the franchise, the former number one overall pick, the Heisman winner, he's not going to go in and play out a lame duck year. I mean, I think things would get a little tense if that were to happen. And so this next offseason would be the time when you renegotiate, or, you know, they're not going to be an extension. It'd be one more deal to get Cam to the end of his career as a Panthers player. But if he can't stay healthy for 16 games, he's had two shoulder surgeries in the last 3 years. If he can't stay healthy for 16 games, I don't know that David Tepper, the new owner, is going to necessarily sign off on some blockbuster deal that would theoretically put Cam in the same stratosphere as, right where Russell Wilson is. I mean, that's what he's going to want. And so, yes, he is an elite quarterback in my mind, or at least in that next year. He's still just as dangerous as he used to be. He can still run when they need him to. I think they want to keep doing what they started last year with Norv Turner, which is to improve his completion percentage, improve his decision-making. And when you do that, you do it by using guys like DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, and letting Cam make shorter, easier throws to these fast-twitch guys in space, letting them get the yak. And then, instead of doing what he was doing before to Mike Shula, where he'd take seven-step drops, pat the ball six times, wait behind a crappy offensive line to see if Kelvin Benjamin and Devin Funchess could generate enough speed to get some separation down the field, realize they didn't, and then throw the ball as hard as you can to the perimeter. So it's a better move, but they need to see him healthy over the course of 16 games before they can commit.
Talking to Will Brinson from CBS Sports. He's on Twitter, at Will Brinson. He is, among other things, the host of the Pick Six podcast. You can find that Apple Podcast, anywhere you get podcasts. Let's go to the other quarterback. Similar question. I'll just lower the bar a bit. Jameis Winston had the fifth best QBR in the NFL last season. Let me stop here for a second. QBR is something people like me see on television. Is it something people like you who cover the sport actually value? Because I don't think anybody would describe Jameis as a top five quarterback, but he did last season at least have a top five QBR.
I didn't realize that. And no, he's not a top five quarterback. QBR is weird. QBR is specific. It's ESPN's metric for rating. It's their quarterback rating. And one thing about QBR that it factors in is, like, for instance, Mitchell Trubisky. If you look at him in passer rating or DVOA, which is the Football Outsiders metrics, he is significantly lower than he is on QBR.
Right.
QBR weights rushing very highly. Like, Tim Tebow had a great QBR when he was a quarterback. And so, I mean, to each his own. I don't dive into QBR that much. Use the eye test, I think, a little bit.
Sure.
You want to use metrics, average yards, yards per attempt. There's a bunch of different more advanced stuff that you can dive into. But, yeah, I mean, like, QBR is something that's a part of the bigger formula if you want it to be. But, no, Jimmy Jameis is not a good quarterback. He's not an above-average quarterback right now. His decision-making, Gary, is awful. I mean, he likes throwing footballs to linebackers 10 feet in front of him the same way I like drinking IPAs on Friday afternoons. I mean, you look at his numbers from last week, right? People talk, Cam's not throwing the ball down the field. Well, Jameis Winston in a Bruce Arians offense only attempted three passes that were 20 yards or more down the field. All three were incomplete, and he had three interceptions within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. That's kind of hard to do. I mean, you're talking about what happens with Jameis is he gets pressured, and they haven't had a very good offensive line since he's been there. He gets pressured, and he tries to be a superhero. But he doesn't have he has the arm of, a guy who was a great baseball player and a Heisman Trophy winner. He's got a cannon, but he's not accurate down the field, and his decision-making in short yardage is not very good. That's why I get worried about him tonight. It's a big game for him because they need to win this game. He needs to get back on track. They need to figure out if Jameis is the guy. Do they extend him? Can Bruce Arians fix him? Do they have to look elsewhere, potentially in the draft this year? But I think when you look at what the problem is for Jameis in this game, again, they don't have a great offensive line. And on the other side is this dude named Gerald McCoy, who is really mad at the Buccaneers for cutting him. Join the Panthers and gets to play the Bucs twice in the first 6 weeks of the season. So if you think that didn't play a factor in coming to the Panthers, you're wrong. This is a double-dip revenge game for Gerald McCoy, and it starts tonight in Charlotte, where Jameis has not been very good. He has never beaten Cam Newton head-to-head in Charlotte when the two have played, when they both played. We've seen Derek Anderson play once, and I think Ryan Fitzpatrick played once as well. When those two have played, Jameis has not been very good, and I tend to think with the personnel that Ron Rivera has on that front seven, and it's reworked. People don't know. It's pretty dangerous. And he's a really good defensive mind. He's going to throw some stuff at Jameis that might really confuse him.
Yeah, I'm actually interested in this game because somebody's waking up tomorrow 0-2 with big questions about their quarterback, and these are two high-profile quarterbacks, even if they're not two great quarterbacks. I'm talking to Will Brinson here from CBS Sports. Obviously, Antonio Brown continues to be the biggest topic in the sport, perhaps the biggest topic in sports. I know we don't know yet what happened Sunday, but what do you expect to happen Sunday? Do you think he's going to catch a ball from Tom Brady down in Miami?
I have no idea, GP. I mean, look, here's the thing. This is it's important. Like, Antonio Brown has not been charged with any crime, right? I mean, it is, and I understand the severity of the allegations, but the NFL has never stepped in before that we can find. On a case where it was a civil lawsuit. It would be an entirely different matter if this was a criminal case. The NFL would have put him on the commissioner's exempt list already. you can't do, I'm not saying you can't do it. The NFL can do whatever it wants and oftentimes does whatever it wants, and you can tell they don't care what anyone thinks about what they do. But if you step in and take a guy who's had a civil case filed against him, even with the heinous nature of the allegations from the complainant and alleged victim, you know, who claims sexual assault and rape, if you do that with a civil case, you really open up a can of worms, because there's no burden of proof for anyone to file a civil complaint. You know, like, anybody can go and file a civil complaint like that. Now, it might be thrown out right away. There might, you know what I mean? Like, that's the problem the NFL would face, is if,
sure.
What would happen down the road if someone else did it, you know, completely egregiously and just started, you know, if people were just filing complaints, you know, would you put every single one of them on the commissioner's exempt list? Now, this is a different scenario, because Brown was on the Raiders. Now he's on, you know, now he's on the Patriots. He switched teams, and it's all unfolded. I don't know what they do. If I'm the Patriots, I would talk to Antonio Brown and say, listen, here's the deal. We're going to make you inactive for Sunday. We're going to float it as Antonio just wants some more time to get ready with the offense, and we're going to prorate your contract in a way that will let you meet your incentives, that won't cost you a game check, and try to make this where it works for all parties without, you know, exposing anybody to any kind of awkwardness that could ensue with Antonio Brown being on the field.
Yeah, I like that idea. And bigger picture, from the NFL's perspective, I'm in total agreement with you. I think Antonio Brown is a garbage human. I don't know if he's a rapist, but I think he's a garbage human. But, like, based on what we know right now, I don't know how the NFL can remove him from, you know, being active on Sunday, unless you're willing to do it every time something like this pops up. And the extreme hypothetical I came up with yesterday, and it's not unique to me, but like, what if a woman filed a similar thing against Dak Prescott tomorrow? You taking Dak Prescott off the field with no proof whatsoever? It's just, I hate slippery slope stuff, but this is, like, very much slippery slope. And yeah, I could see the Patriots stepping in and doing something exactly like what you described, but the NFL stepping in based on what we know right now, I don't know if I'd want to go there if I were Roger Goodell. I'm talking to Will Brinson. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I'm with you 100%. Like, it's a very good example. Like, what if, I mean, look, what if the Patriots get to the Super Bowl and some, you know, they're playing the Seahawks, and the Seahawks fan steps forward and files a lawsuit against Tom Brady. Like, I mean, are you going to pull him off the field because you've set this precedent? It's a dangerous precedent set. And look, I mean, I am not in any way saying, agreeing on either side of the he said, she said thing at all, because the allegations are heinous and horrible. If they're true, you know, he should be out of the game for a long, long time, and probably, you know, much worse. But, you know, There is a process for this, and there is a reason that legal process exists, and there is a burden of proof. It's preponderance of evidence in the case of a civil case, and in the case of a criminal situation, it's, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt. So, to me, it is like you have to at least consider that there are two sides. You know, like we don't know the answer, but it's unfair to one side to act out of the gate. And plus, GP, look at what they did with Tyreek Hill. You're telling me if they didn't suspend Tyreek Hill that they're going to step in with Antonio Brown? I think that would be an odd move.
I agree with you. I'm talking to Will Brinson here from CBS Sports. He's the host of the Pick Six podcast. You can find it anywhere you find podcasts. That's a daily NFL podcast. Switching gears, poor Jets. Their quarterback has mononucleosis. How did this happen?
I mean, I guess he kissed a girl. I don't know. You know, I have no idea. This is wild. It would explain why Sam Darnold was not fantastic down the stretch against the Bills. I mean, you know, if I can continue being flippant and sarcastic, I saw that Sam Darnold's going to have to be quarantined in his New York, probably Manhattan apartment for the next 5 weeks or so, and you know, won't be allowed to talk to anyone from the outside. He's already lost 5 pounds. Can I have mono?
No, that please. Sounds, please.
Can I get mono? Oh, he's got to lay on the couch too. And what a weird NFL season already. We're 1 week in. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I've never had mono, which I guess means I didn't make out enough as a kid or something. But can you get mono any other way? I don't know. Maybe it's you can pick it up. And so I know somebody jokes like Bill Belichick, like, gave Demaryius Thomas mono and then traded him to the Jets, you know, just to get Sam Darnold. But, yeah, it's, this is a rough spot for the Jets because they gagged that lead to the Bills in week one. Now they have the Browns coming on Monday night into their place. That line was Browns -2.5. I love the Jets to win that one at home as a dog. And now it's like -6.5 or -7. You got to like Cleveland. You were Trevor Siemian. You know, Trevor Siemian is a decent backup. He can run that Adam Gase system. You know, I think they were together at the same time in Denver. And you know, he's a sort of quarterback, a cerebral guy. You know, not a big arm, but he can do those crosser routes and he can do the dump off. Le'Veon Bell having an MRI on his shoulder. I mean, this has been a rough 72 hours for the Jets. And you know, when you look at it, it's not going to get any easier because I'm pretty sure they play the Patriots next week.
I'm wrapping up here with Will Brinson from CBS Sports. Last thing before I let you go, and I appreciate your time. The Titans went out and blasted the Browns in week one. Did that tell you more about the Titans or the Browns?
Well, you know, look, I told anybody who'd listen before the season, Gary, that I thought Cleveland's a good team with a bunch of big names and a nice job with the roster construction by John Dorsey, but there were two fatal flaws. And one was the offensive line, and the other was the fact that they have a rookie head coach and a guy in Freddie Kitchens, who I like a lot and I think can be a good head coach, but someone who is taking on the burden of being a first-time head coach while calling plays, while massaging the egos of Odell Beckham and the I don't want to say ego of Baker Mayfield, but I think it applies a little bit. And we saw these guys in GQ all the time. Well, those two issues popped up in a big way on Sunday. I mean, they had Baker Mayfield was mauled by the Titans. Cameron Wake is literally the same age as me, and he was out there getting 2.5 sacks and 4 quarterback carries. That shouldn't be happening. You know, Greg Robinson, who was cut the week before the season, when your starting left tackle is cut the week before the season, and no one, and you can cut him because you know you can re-sign him because no one wants him. That's a bad sign. He got kicked out for Haynesworthing somebody, and I think they have 18 penalties for like 180 yards or something. And this is an undisciplined team that, you know, clearly is run amok, and a team that with no offensive line. I'm sorry, I don't see how the Browns can be this 10-win behemoth that everybody thought they can be if they continue to play like that up front and can't protect Baker and don't sort of get it together on that end. I do think Tennessee is a very good team. That game was 15-13 in the fourth quarter, so it wasn't the blowout it looked like the whole time. Baker kind of panicked and started throwing pick sixes, and the Titans ran away with it. But yeah, I mean, I think the AFC South from that perspective is going to be interesting because Tennessee, I think Indy's right there. Jacksonville lost Nick Foles, but the great Gardner Minshew sort of stepped up a little bit. And Houston, if they can keep Deshaun Watson healthy, that's going to be a fun race to watch. This sounds like a hot take, but I think there's a chance that Cleveland's the worst team in the AFC North. Wow. Cincinnati looked pretty good. I still believe in Pittsburgh, and Baltimore looked great. So this could be a very, very disappointing season for Browns fans.
That is Will Brinson from CBS Sports. He's on Twitter, at Will Brinson. You can watch him on CBS Sports HQ. You can read him, CBSSports.com, and, of course, listen to him. That's the Pick 6 Pod on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get podcasts, the Daily NFL Podcast. If you haven't subscribed yet, you need to go do that. Well, thanks for being here, buddy. Terrific stuff, and I'll catch up with you soon.
You're the best, Gary. Anytime, buddy.
Thanks, brother. That's Will Brinson from CBS Sports and the Pick 6 Pod, a daily NFL podcast under the CBS Sports Podcast umbrella. When we come back, Team USA lost again this morning. That's back-to-back losses for the first time in a bazillion years. Jerry Colangelo, who runs USA Basketball, had some interesting comments about what he will remember and not remember about who decided to represent our country in the FIBA World Cup. We'll get into that, plus some recruiting stuff. John Calipari in town. We'll do it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.